Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. Head to disrupteducation.co to learn more about education reform. Start disrupting education with me. My blog, and you can connect with me there and see all the different things that are coming out. I got some classes and some courses coming out soon. We'll have all that information there at disrupteducation.co. On today's podcast, I speak with a friend and who is an awesome business educator here in Illinois. His name is Michael Archbold. Michael is just an amazing guy. He's full of energy. You're going to love this conversation. We talk about how our kids are going to go and get some experiential learning to see the learning take root rather than just, you know, hand them knowledge. So this conversation is coming up right after this. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there and share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future. And excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Have you ever thought about creating courses and training online? Without a partner to guide you through that process, you're going to be stressed about why your learners aren't engaged or how to create updated content, missing revenue opportunities, and not even having enough time. I know because I create online courses. And I have a solution for you, eLearning Partners. You don't have to be overwhelmed anymore. Become a partner with eLearning Partners to create your courses and training stress-free and achieve the results you want to see. If you are thinking about wanting to create a course or training online and you believe like I believe that no expertise should go unheard, then click the eLearning Partners link in the notes of this podcast and you can start your journey to create your courses and training stress-free. If you want all that and more from the eLearning Partners, hit the link in the podcast notes because there's a free masterclass for you to take. That's right, a free masterclass. Hit that link today. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host, and thank you so much for listening in. Hey, if you get a chance, hit that subscribe button. Appreciate it. Give us any feedback. 5 stars are always nice. I have got a friend, a colleague, a fellow business entrepreneur, intrapreneur, edupreneur. I'm just going to keep preneuring you up. Michael Archbold is here with me today. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I am doing awesome, Peter. I am doing really good, and I am looking forward to diving into the good stuff, the messy stuff, the tough stuff. Just whatever you can throw at me, I am willing to tackle. And even if I don't know the answer, I won't lie to you, and I'll tell you I don't know, and I'll find it out for you.
That's why we've been hanging out for a while, man. That's it's all good. Tell a little bit about who you are and what you're doing right now, and a little bit about your work past, man.
Oh, man. I've got a long and interesting journey to become an educator. I think when I first graduated, or when I was in college, I think I was hey, I want to be a businessman, whatever a businessman meant, and graduated, worked, to show you my age, I worked at Verizon Super Pages selling, you might not even know this, selling yellow page advertising. I sold bold links to plumbers. I sold half page color ads to attorneys, you know, so that shows a little bit of my age. And then finally, Verizon got, I think it was like Super Pages, which was like online advertising, like web space. So that was kind of like a new thing that we were doing at the time, which, excuse me, to think that was a new thing in 2021, we would probably laugh and say that dude's super archaic, right? So I did that for a little bit, recognizing that I was just not being fulfilled. So instead of doing that, I said, hey, let me go work in insurance. So I did some insurance. Recognizing I wasn't being fulfilled in that, I went and worked in collections. And then I just did a bunch of other, I would just call mess, to be quite honest mm-hmm. with you, recognizing that I liked business. I enjoyed the inner workings of business. I understand, you know, movement, finances, HR, marketing, just all of it. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed the quote unquote corporate ladder movement, so to speak. And then I said, you know what? I love to talk. I'm high energy. I love people. I love business. Maybe being a teacher is more of my speed. So I checked to see credits and all that good stuff, went to Roosevelt University, got my teaching certification, and then since then I have been a business educator for, let's say, the last 12 years, and I think this is where the good Lord wants me to be, and I have enjoyed the last 12 years. I don't enjoy the knuckleheaded kids sometimes, but I thoroughly enjoy being an educator and all that it needs, right? So even when we talk about, you know, curriculum, I enjoy that stuff. But I think my biggest heart and biggest passion is just really connecting and working with kids and helping them.
And that, you know, it's funny because a lot of the business educators I hang out with, we've all done things before we came into the classroom, which I think is a plus. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to ask you, what kind of student were you? Like, what kind of student was Mike back in the day?
I tell my students all the time, I was a strong C student, man. I was a solid C guy. Every once in a while, I'd throw you a bone in gym and pop out like an A. You know, I'd pop an A in gym, but I was like a strong C student. Every once in a while, I may throw a D in there, but I was middle of the road, just didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't an interest. I just, it, you know, just didn't see the value in it, I guess, to be honest with you.
So going back into that, let's dig up a little bit of Mike's past here. Here we go. What were some things that you would have done differently or you are doing differently now in the classroom that you saw yourself like, you know what, I wasn't that student?
It's interesting that you asked that because I think the question's kind of like twofold, right? So what I liked when I was in high school, I never forget Miss Smith. She was a sociology teacher. I probably had her 1 year, but I just remember her as being cool. And I remember all the kids really liking her, right? So I think – so that's what I enjoyed. I think what I would have liked more is more teachers connecting with me on a personal level and not so much curriculum. Although I recognize as an educator, like, hey, I'm a personal finance teacher. I need to teach you about personal finance, right? I can't just – yo, come out, man. Let's hang out. Let's just talk about like the football game and food and you know what we're doing on the weekend. All those things are like super important, and I think we need to connect with our students on that level. I think they're, you know, and I don't know if we'll get into it or if it's just my personal take, is I think curriculum is so like it's important and we need to get through it and we need to talk about the subject, but sometimes I don't believe it's the end all of mm-hmm. everything, right? Like we're teachers, so we need to teach. But I think sometimes, as I've told my students, My job is to give you the tool belt, right? I'm going to give you a tool belt because I repeat myself. I talk a ton. I'm super high energy at like 7:30 in the morning. But I'm going to give you something to put in your tool belt as long as you're with me, whether it's a semester or a year. Your job is to take it and then decide what is the mess I've told you for a whole semester you're going to pull out and use, right? You're not going to use everything, but maybe there's this one, like, man, Archibald did say I should make sure I keep track of my hours when I work. Okay, cool. If that's the only thing you get from our conversations for a semester, I will count that as a success, and I always tell him, send me an email. Maybe you forget me. Just send me an email. I'll be like, Archibald, you told me about keeping track, and my boss said he didn't give me the hours, and I knew I was – that's – to me, that's the important thing, right? Like, so I think all that to say more – a deeper personal connection for me, because I think I'm a very emotional being, and I think connecting more with me – would have maybe had an effect. So I try the best that I can, especially in this virtual world. It's really tough.
Yeah.
But I am trying to be more aware of connecting and not just like hammer home like curriculum.
Yeah. So you know what? Honestly, what really brought me like to you was your energy. Like, I think as an educator, if you don't bring it every day as much as you can, it's really tough, right? So I'm not going to come at you with, you know, good morning, class. How are you guys doing? You know, you I mean, and maybe that works for some, but for me, that's what really attracted me to like how you just go after things. And, you know, knowing your background a little bit, now you were in collections, so you know that some of these kids might end up there and you're trying to tell them about what that's like. So how are you taking, because you had a lot of experience. I had a lot of experience before we jumped into business education, man. What are some of like the main stories or the greatest parts that you're like, look, this is what happened when I was here. This is what you need to know. Do you have any of those moments that come to mind?
Going through, there's so many things to talk about. I'm thinking currently now about my incubator section that I have, right?
Yeah.
And just this past Friday, I had a young man, he's in the team, and I know it, and I was just waiting for him to bring it up, but he said, Mr. Archibald, he's like, I'm going to be real with you. And I was like, please do. My teammate ain't holding his weight. Look, you told us to do this thing today, and he didn't do it because he thinks I'm going to do it. And I'm not trying to throw him underneath the bus, but...
And I started thinking about the times where I struggled in the past and struggle current present tense with being in teams where everybody may not be necessarily handling their weight, right? So I tried to put it in context that, one, do I give this kid an out saying, hey, let me drop you from your group, let me pair you up with somebody else, but now you and the person I pair you with, one of you are going to have to give up your product that you've been working on since August, or do I tell you to kind of stick it out and figure it out? And the one thing that I've learned is when – doesn't always happen, but when you do what you're supposed to do and you put your name on it, there's a sense of pride that you get from doing that. And the other person has to deal with whatever they're dealing with, right? Like, we can't always control the outside factors of whether my partner is going to do his or her share or whether they're going to take credit for it. But when it really comes down to it, it's teaching those skills that, hey, do what you're supposed to do and be confident at. So what I told him was, I said, look, on Monday, what I'm going to do is make a generalized kind of statement to the class. Hey, class, I need everybody, because there's another group that's kind of dealing with some of the same issues. Hey, class, let's make sure we're all kind of holding our weight. We don't want, you know, give them kind of the rah-rah pitch. and then I told him, I said, let's do this. I'm going to give them a week, right? Give them a week and let's see if that does some type of spark. And then if it doesn't, then I will step in. Because, again, I don't want it to be like a whole nother month where I'm like, hey, you know, for the last 4 weeks you haven't done anything. Well, it's like I'm giving you an opportunity, giving him a chance to step up. And I told him, I was like, don't quit. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And I recognized it already. I was just waiting for him to come and say something because I knew his partner wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, right? But I wanted him to approach me because, again, I've learned, especially in the incubator, is it's – right, you said something about, like, life lessons and, mm-hmm. and things like that, right?
Yeah.
That's a life skill, man. Like, I can't – there isn't a lesson that I can come up with that's going to teach the kid a life skill of dealing with a difficult teammate. There is no – there's no lesson that I'm going to Google to come up with dealing with a difficult teammate. It's not going to happen. He's going to have to develop that. I hoped I tried to give him like, hey, man, a little encouragement, a little peace. Keep doing your thing. So that way, hey, the next time maybe he recalls something that I said to him and that he can continue on. So I think dealing with, especially it just happened, you know, 48 hours ago, dealing with a difficult teammate is tough, right? It's even tough for me at 43 dealing with colleagues who may not necessarily be, you know, as motivated as you. And like, well, what do I do? Do I just say forget it and like don't do it? Do I say do it but then get stressed out? Do you know what I mean? How do you handle that? And it's tough for me at 43, so I can only imagine for a 16-year-old kid who's in a class that he may or may not necessarily want to be in the first place.
Right.
How does he deal with that situation? So that was a long response to your question.
No, that's true though, but it brings up the point of experiential learning versus checkbox learning, right? So you're right. You can't really find, I mean, somebody will try to sell you a curriculum and say, hey, you know, this is your teammate stuff and you can list all these things, but you have to experience it. And I think that's why we love what we do as business educators. It's a love-hate relationship. It's very difficult. You know, when you see these students, and we always do, we never get 100%. That's the goal, right? But you never get 100%. And you're working with the youth and you know, you're like, I'm providing you with experiences. And then you called them knucklehead kids, but they're just not doing it, right? How do we, you know, I think that's our biggest challenge, man. What do you say about, like, you know, bringing experiences over checkbox learning? And then, because our kids know, some of them know, they can just check the box. Like, you know, you and I actually in high school, I checked the box, you know.
Check the box.
Yeah, right.
I still check boxes now sometimes, to be quite honest with you, right? Like, when the laziness, if we're being real, yeah. Right? Like, am I 100% into everything that I'm doing? If I'm doing some reflective self-reflection, no.
Right.
I know I need to, right? But I think maybe what you're getting, like, what do you do? I think the goal, as you stated, is 100%, right? I say that my boat's big enough for everyone, but everyone's not going to fit.
Hmm.
Right? My boat's big enough for everybody. Like, hey, I can take on all 30 of you, right? I can help and get to each one of you. Every one of you is not going to be helped because mm-hmm. some of you just don't want it. And I think sometimes you know, tough subject for administrators, I believe. I want everyone to get it. Everyone's not. And sometimes, and maybe it's self, you know, I put it on myself sometimes in that I can't feel bad that everybody's not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think personally for me, sometimes I felt bad or I felt a certain way because like, man, I really tried because then you see those stories where it's like, oh, Mrs. So-and-so reached Johnny who never came to school. And like now Johnny's going to school and he's going to Harvard and, you know, and it's like, man, like, bro, I just wanted you to do this budget real quick. And like, I couldn't get to do that. So like, why is my student not going to Harvard or Yale? You know? So I think just recognizing, look, if I give 100% every single day when I for right now, when I click on my Google Meet and I give 100%, I got to walk away with that pretty fired up.
Mm-hmm.
If I go in there and I give them a half-A effort and I give them like a 60% and they're not getting it, then that's an on-me thing. And then I got to question myself, well, why didn't I give them 100%?
What's and you mentioned administration, and I think it, I've been in like different schools, and you've seen a lot of different things, like the pressures of, you know, hey, you know, get what, yeah, right? Like, what's happening here? You have to do this and you're not doing that, but you're given 100%. How do we find that line, man? How do we, especially when we're like, now we're, you know, we're in hybrid, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, trying to reach kids and they're not even physically in the building, you know, like.
Peter, I think what, you know, I talked with our superintendent about the incubator program, right? And I told him some of the struggles that I was having and some of the successes that were going on. I think it's a mind shift, right? I think, including myself, I need to continue to recognize what is the importance of what we are doing, right? It's, and it goes back to the first thing we said, is it like straight, is it 100% curriculum? Is it 90% curriculum and 10% life skills, so to speak? Whatever that percentage is, but letting people know that we need to be real and authentic with whatever, right? So if you're real and authentic is 70-30, live out your 70-30. If it's 80-20, if it's 90, whatever it is, but give our kids something that they can tangibly put in their tool belt. Again, no disrespect to my science, no disrespect to my English, no disrespect to my history teachers. They all teach things that are important to the, well, right, the liberal arts education, the whole child, so to speak, right? But for business educators, I take it personally, man. Like, because the things that we talk about, as any subject we talk about, it's applicable today. Not like, oh, you know, like when you become a homeowner, then you'll worry about money. No, you'll worry about money now. You can create a budget with your $20 a week snow shoveling for your neighbor. You can learn how to calculate your taxes when you work today. You, right? All those things can happen today. It's not a down the road thing that we are teaching. So however an English science teacher would do that, I think when we connect it, right? Because again, mm-hmm. we started off and you asked me, you said, well, hey, what would you do differently? Relate to me more, bro. Mm-hmm. Tell me why this thing that you're telling me is important. My kids come home. Why do I need to know this? Multiplicate. Why do I need to know whatever that mess is that they're going over in math? Like, and I'm like, look, I can't tell you, to be quite honest with you, but I do know this. You better know how to add. You better know how to subtract. You better know how to multiply. And you better know how to divide. Those are the four mathematical functions that I'm really good at. If you gave me an X over Y squared equals BC, I don't know. I'm lost, right? But there are some basic principles that kids need to know. And I think the more, as a business educator, we can expose them to it, show them why they need it, show them examples of where it is applied. I share lots of personal examples like, yo, this is my budget. This is what we just talked about yesterday. Okay, maybe it, again, I want it to click with 100. It ain't going to click with 100. If it clicks with 60, 50, I'm okay because it clicked with somebody and somebody took something away from the interaction. And to me, that's the important.
People learn math a lot quicker when they put a dollar sign around that number. That's what I would say.
And I joke and I tell kids, I say, you know what? A couple things I don't like to mess around with. My wife or my wife and family, food and money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are three things that are really important to me, right? I don't like messing around with my money because I work hard for it, right? Mm-hmm. I deal with knuckleheaded kids 5 days a week, right? So when I get my money, I need to protect it and make it work for me, right? But
right.
The personal finance message that a lot of our students don't know is how to utilize it, right? It's like it's important. I need it. I have to pay for my house and for kids and for sports and things, right? But how do we work with it, right? And not let it rule us.
Compound interest, man. Compound interest.
Pay yourself first.
What do you say to the people out there? Because I hear it all the time, and I get really angry, and I do take this personally, and I shouldn't, because it's something I really can't control. But the people out there is like, man, our schools need to teach how to do savings and how to, you know, but we are, right? Like, what do you say to those folks?
Well, I tell them, one, we are currently doing that, because I do that. And I think sometimes they're probably disconnected from education and educators, right? I think it's my understanding, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, in the state of Illinois, what is it? Consumer ed is a graduation requirement,
yeah, right?
You have to have it. Now, each school maybe does it a little differently, right? And even in our district, we were doing, part of it was in, what is it, government class or something, mm-hmm, at one point in time. And I'm like, to be quite honest with you, what we cover in a semester can't be covered in like 3 or 4 weeks. And realistically, personal finance should probably be a year-long class if we're being really, really honest.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to get through in whatever 16 weeks a semester is, that like sometimes it's like, man, we're rushing to get that piece in, because we're kind of deep dive, and if you deep dive, that means you're surface on some other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, like, so you're trying to balance, like, man, this is like really important, not so important. This isn't really important, not so important. And it's like you want to deep dive everything, right? Mm-hmm. You want to go down in everything and then come up at the end. But it's you just gotta figure it out and do the best.
Yeah, we do that. That's interesting. I like the fact that you're like, yeah, they probably are disconnected with education. It's an excuse or something like that. I know there's other states that do it as well. So here's the big question, man. So we're in a pandemic. We got a lot of stuff going on. You know, we're in and out of the classroom. We've been doing this for, you know, double digit years. What would you do? Say you're the guy. You're the guy who's going to flick a switch and change one or two things in education. What would it be?
I will give you the big term, experiential learning, right? So I'm, mm-hmm, going to throw that out there and say that's what I would do. And I'm looking at it through a business lens.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids need to have, if you want to call them, internships, partnerships, connected relationships, whatever it is, our kids need to see their learning taking root outside of our classroom, right? I am not a personal financial planner, right? That's not my certification. That's not what I do. That's not how I make a living, right? I'm not an insurance agent, right? I know about insurance. I know how it affects me. I know about it. I know the topics, right? Those aren't my lines of expertise. I use those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say for us as business educators, how can we do it outside of just having, hey, your local insurance agent come in. Hey, come in my class and talk to my kids about homeowners insurance. Well, kids, homeowners insurance, you need it to protect your assets, right? And then he or she leaves, and then we're moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and again, going back to incubator, I think incubator intertwines all of that. And I think the more we can intertwine coaches, mentors into our curriculum and intertwine into our subject, I think that one thing would be good. And by intertwine, I just don't mean, again, having somebody come in to give you a 60-minute lecture on banking. Okay, mm-hmm, cool. But somehow kind of diving in and figuring out what can we do, right? Because, hey, we taught you about budgeting. I'm going to go put you with this financial planner, I don't know, once a week or something, and, yeah, he or she is going to work with you on this. Or I'm going to, you know, I don't know if they could do it like in a bank setting, but I'm going to connect you with the banker and they're going to sit down and show you and give you some, so something more. So it's like they're hearing it, they're getting it, but then they're actually going to do it. And again, you know, what that looks like or how that would be flushed out, I don't know if I have the answer to, but I think, again, specifically for the business educators, and I think you could probably do it for science or history or any other subject, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing it in practice as compared to the, I don't even want to, because I try not to lecture so much, but just that, like, dump of info into their heads and then them getting it, like, getting it and then doing something with it, or at least giving them the opportunity. Because again, all 100 aren't going to want it, all 100 aren't going to get it, but it makes sure we cast that net and say, hey, there's room for all of you. Some of you aren't going to fit underneath this net, but we're going to cast it and try to get as many of you roped in our arms that we can.
100% experiential learning. Just saw a video from our district, a young lady who was graphic designing. She designed the dance uniforms, and somebody from Lewis University came over and said, hey, can you design new ones for us? And they actually are going through that process, you know? So that's how that looks. Yeah, I don't know how you, you know, you got to rearrange schedules and do all these different things with that. But
I think you also, but Peter, I think you've, you know, going back, I'm all over the place, but talking with my, with the superintendent, and the thing is, it's the mindset, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to even want it before what I just said is even an option, right? Because
right.
If you're, and again, I'm still trying to shed some of that paperweight, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here's the worksheet. No freaking kid cares about the stinking worksheet, man. Like, they get enough. They don't care about the worksheet. So, one, us as the educators need to say, you know what? We don't want the worksheet. Since we don't want the worksheet, what do we want in place of what we thought was really good? Not that the worksheets are horrible in and of itself, but if we're going to replace it, let's replace it with an experience, or let's replace it with something that's going to take root and not like, you know, I love Ed puzzles, right? And let's just throw you the video. Well, what's the freaking video really doing, man? And again, I'm pointing a finger at myself, right?
Right.
Boom, let's throw him an Ed puzzle real quick. Okay, cool. It's a digitalized worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a digitalized worksheet. So, but I think those conversations, man, like, and it's tough. And we gotta investigate our own brain space. Like, why am I doing this? It's tough. I may need to do something that's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, am I okay with doing that? Let me partner with some other people who are really don't want to do this, but think it's kind of cool, but don't know how to move forward. So let's try to do this in a cohort. But I think everybody is so, and especially now virtually, we're so isolated that we're just isolated.
Right.
And you know, I don't know what you're doing, so I'm just going to stay and do my thing because I'm just going to do my thing. And another year goes by and you're in the exact same flipping spot than you were like the previous year, and you're no better and the kids are no better off.
Yeah, that mindset is everything. And creating the space and the time. And guess what? You know, there might be those days where they don't look like what we're used to, right? Like in education. And it's just like, the space and the time and, you know, here's your tool belt and go. That's a scary place for a lot of people. I'll admit that's kind of scary for me too, but it seems very interesting. You know, it seems
it can't, yeah. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't see our educational system as it existed a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think that in a year from now it's going to look the same.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that change is going to be like, because I look at our church, right? My church, some people are in person, but some people like the online format.
Right.
And some people are more than likely going to stick with that online format, right?
Right.
And then they're going to bounce in for, you know, gatherings or something, and they're going to bounce back, and on Sunday mornings they're going to do that. I can't think, right, and I could be wrong, every kid in the fall isn't going to want to come back.
Right.
Right? Like, there's going to be some percentage. It may be very, very small, but there's going to be some percentage of kids that don't want to come back. Now, whether the district is going to continue to offer that online format, that's a whole nother thing. Are kids going to want to go to different schools because they are offering those online formats? I don't know the answer to those questions, but I you know, it'd be interesting what the fall looks like,
yeah,
and what the options for students are going to look like in, you know, 6 months or whatever it is from now.
Listen, Mike, it has been a pleasure. I always love having conversations with you, man. Thank you so much, man, for hanging out with us. If people want to connect with you, man, you're out on LinkedIn. Where else can people connect with you, man?
I am on Twitter at Archbold Educate.
All right.
That's Archbold Educate.
Hey, appreciate your time and your expertise and how you're doing things. Time will tell, man. We'll see what happens, right?
Hey, I appreciate you because every time I talk to you, you always share good nuggets of info. You always challenge me, and I never forget that one time you came to BPA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I said I wanted to try something, and you were sitting down next to me, and you looked at me, and he's like, "Are you scared? Is that why you're not doing it?" And I was like, man, I felt some kind of way that you challenged me like that, but I was like, you're probably right. I am scared, and that's why I didn't do it. So even if you don't know you're doing it, you are, and I appreciate it because it gets me thinking and being a little bit more creative than I would have if we didn't interact.
Oh, man. Likewise, this is right back at me, man, the things that you go through. So I really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, man. And thank you all for listening. Really appreciate you guys. Do me a favor. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Give us some feedback. Thanks for listening to Disrupt Education.